Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles. I want you to use your fingers. In 2 Kings chapter number 21 and then Jeremiah chapter number 1. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 15 verse number 4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize that the Old Testament can be an exciting study as far as the Christian is concerned. When you and I want to preface this by Galatians 6, because the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Actions produce consequences. The actions today will produce consequences for the future, not only in our lives, but the lives of our children and grandchildren. When you and I understand that when we do something, that it has an effect, and it may have an effect for a long time down the road. And so when you and I look at Christianity, and we look at the church today, and we look at our actions, whatever those actions may be, then you and I have this tendency to have the idea, well, it really doesn't have an effect on what goes on. But then when you begin to accumulate those actions, and you see the effects of them. Now I want to make that point to help us understand that when actions are taken, there's consequence to that action. I kind of look at things not only historically, but then I look at them as if they're today. If you can go back in history, I go back and I remember that from a study of history, ladies and gentlemen, you and I got to this, or most of us got to this building tonight as a result of actions that were taken by Dwight D. Eisenhower. And what that is that's the interstate system. And it was started, and that one of the purposes, he being a military man, his idea was to develop this interstate system in order to move the military more easily in case of an attack against the United States. And so what do? I can remember having to travel to Detroit when the interstate system wasn't complete. And so what I'm simply saying is, actions now have an effect on what takes place later on. Actions made, for an example, actions taken by John F. Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson in the civil rights movement, ladies and gentlemen, have an effect on what goes on in our world today. And so when you look at all of these things, you just come on down the line and you see that actions are made and there will always be consequences, good or bad, to those actions. The Bible tells us that. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, you relate that to the days of Solomon when he was king of Israel. Solomon had all these wives. And I tell you what he did. He let these wives take him away from the God of heaven. And as a result of that, they worshipped idols. And God said to Solomon, "I am going to take the kingdom away from you." Now, what did God do? God said, here is an action on Solomon's part. And so what happened is Solomon forsook God and he worshipped idols. And God said, "I'm going to take the kingdom away from you," which he did. But he said, "I'm not going to do it now while you are king. But I'm going to do it to your people." Now you see, ladies and gentlemen, you and I don't think about this, but we make decisions and we take actions that do not necessarily affect us individually, but will affect our children and our grandchildren. You think about that. And so what happened is, God split the kingdom as a result of the actions of Solomon. Rehoboam became the king after his dad died. And then Jeroboam, the kingdom split between Judah and Israel. And Jeroboam became the king of Israel. And Rehoboam became the king of Judah. Both nations departed from God. God sends a message back to both nations. I will not tolerate what you're doing. You're going to pay for it. I'm not going to tolerate it. Now, your time or our time frame and God's is not the same. All right? Over the course of time, Ahab became the king of Israel. And of course, after Jeroboam, Rehoboam is on the king of Judah. Now, in the process of time, I want to fit a man by the name of Jeremiah right in that process of time. If you were to recognize and remember that there was a man by the name of Isaiah, and Isaiah was a prophet around 850 B.C., a couple of 100 years later, comes along a man by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah came in at about the time of 600, somewhere around 640, 630, down to about 570, somewhere in that frame. You can find the historical numbers. Jeremiah was in that period of time. Now, I want you to see what had been taking place in Judah. We're not talking about Israel, we're talking about Judah. Israel had already gone into captivity because of their departure from God. So, what we find is, now here's where I want you to turn your Bibles. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 21. Because in 2 Kings chapter 21, I want us to identify some of the difficulties that were going on. Now, there was a man by the name of Manasseh. Okay? Manasseh had a son by the name of Amon. Amon had a son, and as we go along, from time, you'll hear these names again, and I'll tell you who they are. Manasseh had a son by the name of Amon. Amon had a son by the name of Josiah. Josiah had a son by the name of Jehoiakim, and then Jehoiakim as well will come all the way down to a fellow by the name of Hezekiah, Zerubbabel, and other men, all right? But here's what I want you to look at. Turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter number 21. Verse number 8, neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers, only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But listen to this. He said, now see, I want to tell you, Israel didn't do right. They didn't do what I told them to. Now look at what he said in verse 9. But they hearkened not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. I hear men ridiculing the God of the Bible. There's a man by the name of Richard Dawkins. Has written a book about the fact he's an atheist and doesn't believe in God. And in his defense of his atheism, he said, you go back and you look at what God did to the people when He gave that land to the children of Israel and how those men went in and wiped those countries out. If God caused that, look at the kind of God He is. He is a God of blood. He is a God of hatred. He is a God of wrath. But now watch this. See what He said here? The nations whom the Lord destroyed, why did He destroy them? Because they were evil. So He destroyed them. Now then, God, before the children of Israel got the land of Canaan, they had all that land. God said, I'm going to give it to you. A land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a vineyard you didn't plant. I'm going to give you all this and you didn't do anything. I'm going to give it to you. Because they were wicked. Now God comes and says, I'm going to tell you something. Manasseh has caused Judah to do more evil than what was done by those nations that God destroyed. Now then, look at the next verse. And the Lord spake by His servant, the prophet, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with idols. Here's what he's done. that Manasseh has made Judah sin with idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, now I want you to listen to this, and I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching these sermons. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, I'm trying to do what's right, and I don't doubt that very thing. But I'm going to tell you, you need to relate some of this to what's going on in the United States of America in the year of 2010. But now watch it. Now look what the Bible says. Because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his deeds. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, behold, I'm bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth it, both his ears shall tingle. Do you think about that? You and I think we can just sit back and let whatever happens happen? That it doesn't matter? God says, I'm telling you, Judah, I'm going to do to you such things that it will make the ears of Iraq and of Greece, it'll make the ears of Egypt, it'll make the ears of Israel, it'll make the ears of Lebanon, it'll make the ears of Germany, it'll make the ears of all of those European countries, it will make them tingle when they hear what happens to you. Now that's not what the Bible says. I just brought it over to today. Because he said, I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I'll wipe Jerusalem. Listen to this. I will wipe. Can I give you just a short little humor right here? I want you to look at this. I've heard somebody say, ladies, listen up. Listen up, ladies. This is the passage of Scripture that teaches your husband to do the dishes. And I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. You go home, you tell your husband. The Bible said, God said you wash the dishes. I've never known of a man being shocked while he was washing dishes. So keep that in mind. Now God is saying, I want you to understand, Judah, here's your condition. Alright? Now, if we went on and read the entire three chapters of 2 Kings 21, 22, and 23, we see there's a change. Go with me to the second or the 22nd chapter of the book of Kings. Somebody said, I thought you were going to preach on Jeremiah. I'm laying the foundation. Go to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 22. And in 2 Kings 22, the Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Now, Manasseh was Josiah's granddaddy. Manasseh reigned 55 years. Manasseh had a son by the name of Amon. Now, Amon reigned a little over 2 years. And they killed him. They said, we ain't going to put up with him. And so Josiah was 8 years old. Now I want you to look at this. Verse 2. The Bible says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside unto the right hand nor to the left. Josiah, 8 years old, is king. Now let me follow on down there for just a second. Josiah, now, turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and you can keep your finger over there. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, and go to the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, please. And I want you to look at verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter number 1. Some of this a little bit later on as I study this, I'm going to put it on PowerPoint for you. I want you to look at this. In verse number 1 of Jeremiah, the Bible said the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest. Just remember that, Hilkiah. And when you go back to 2 Kings chapter 22, Hilkiah was the priest. And Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah. And Hilkiah, Josiah had them go out and they found the book of the law. And it was so exciting that they stood for 4 hours while the law was read. It had been lost or had been discarded. And Josiah said, "Hey, whoa, wait." They came back and they said, "Look, we found the books of the law." And Josiah said, "Man, start. Let's read that thing." Hilkiah, the priest, read for 4 hours while they were standing up. Okay, now then, let's go back to Jeremiah again, chapter number 1, because this is where we begin tonight. In Jeremiah chapter number 1, the Bible says, "In the days of Hilkiah the priest." Okay, that's the Hilkiah that we read about over in the book of 2 Kings. So in the days of Hilkiah the priest, the Bible says that Jeremiah the son, he was the son of Hilkiah the priest. Now, we don't grasp the priesthood. We don't grasp it because we don't study it. And so, and it's, if you don't grasp it, don't go home and say, "Oh, I'm terrible about it." No. Let me just give you a few of the things that a priest did. Really, when you look at the Bible, the priest had a pretty good job. Okay? He had certain responsibilities. He'd get up in the morning and he'd offer certain sacrifices. And then he would offer a certain sacrifice in the evening. And when somebody brought in a sacrifice, he got part of the meat. That's how he got paid. As a matter of fact, when you study the Bible, it's interesting that Eli's sons and Samuel's sons, one of the problems the people had with them was these guys would take more of what was theirs. And so the priest would offer these sacrifice. If you had leprosy, then here's one of the jobs of the priest. You come in and the priest examines you, and if the boil is if there's a certain way that thing looks, he decides whether or not you have leprosy, and he'll put you in confinement for a certain period of time. If somebody sins a particular sin and a sacrifice must be offered for that, then the priest is the one who offered that sacrifice. So it was pretty cut and dried. He had certain things he did at certain times during the day and certain times during the year. He offered these sacrifices, and it was a pretty good quotation job. Hilkiah had a son by the name of Jeremiah. Guess what? Jeremiah is in line to become a priest. Everything looks good. I'm going to succeed my daddy. I'm going to have the job my daddy had. I'm going to be able to do all this and everything just in line like it ought to be. And all of a sudden, God comes into the picture and said, "Wait a minute. I got something else I want you to do." So when you and I look at what He had on His mind, and when you look at the conditions of Judah at the time, then you can understand the reluctance of Jeremiah. God said, "Jeremiah," now I want you to go back to this. God is not going to let America stand as it is. I'm going to tell you why. Two reasons. God has never let a nation stand that went into homosexuality. Read your history. Secondly, on top of that, abortion. He said, "Well, it's here. It doesn't matter." Now go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 1. And verse number 4. "The word of the Lord came to me." Who is me? Jeremiah. "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now listen, my friend. those individuals who try to convince you. And I know you're not going to be convinced. I know that. But I'm just kind of giving you some support and giving you some encouragement. But those folks who try to tell you that, well, there's nothing you can do about it, and abortion, well, it's all right, and it's not a child until, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, God said, Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in the belly of your mama. And what are we doing? Killing millions every year. And what do? We keep supporting the politicians who let it happen. Ladies and gentlemen, God will not tolerate that. I wish I had a better message tonight. God's not going to tolerate it. There's time to change. But you and I must recognize, folks, God said to Jeremiah, I've got something. Now, Jeremiah wasn't quick to say, whoa, wow, man, God called me to be a preacher. I'm going to tell you something. Preaching in the days of Jeremiah and preaching like I preach, as a fellow said, ain't no comparison. He said he was doubtful. Look at what he said. Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm a child. Jeremiah's a child. According to history and those who've searched these things out, he was about 20 years old. Is a person who's 20 a child? Under the Jewish age, a boy wasn't a man till he reached age 30. And we got him at 15. But Jeremiah said, Lord, look at this. He said, I can't speak. Lord said, don't say I'm a child. Because he said, I'm going to send you out to do what I'm sending you to do. So when you and I, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at a responsibility and we look at what God wants us to do, we have a reluctant servant in Jeremiah. And as you read that book later on, you'll understand why it was reluctant. Because he was at a time of very difficult situation. Folks, I've got it easy. I'm telling you, I have got it easy. I can go on GBN and preach every week. I can get on the radio if I can find it. I can write in the news. I can stand out here in the middle of Douglas County without repercussion and preach. Jeremiah did not have that blessing. So when you and I think about the prophet Jeremiah, let's look at our lives and see how do I fit into this. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, don't be a reluctant person. Don't make excuses. Just respond to the invitation of our Lord. By faith, repent of your sins. Confess Christ. You repent and confess upon faith and then baptized for the remission of sins. Resurrected to walk in a new life. My friend, tonight, listen to this. You and I have an opportunity of a lifetime ahead of us. Let's take advantage of that.